tune out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday the 3rd of August 2026 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at RadioAlbion.com. We had a bit of good news last night. Well, I view this as good news. Rupert Lowe from Restore put out a video where he offered to bury the hatchet effectively with Nigel Farage. He said that if Reform will agree to Restore's main points, which basically have to stop all illegal migration, stop kosher slaughter, prevent any conservatives from standing in a cabinet if they get elected. Basically, the Restore's points, which Reform broadly agree with. And he said that they should put their personal differences aside and they should form an alliance and work together, which to me it shows that Rupert Lowe is really trying to put the good of the country above his own personal animosity towards Nigel. And let's not forget that Nigel Farage effectively called the police on Rupert and said that he was inciting hate by saying that all the people involved in the cover-up of the grooming gangs would have to be deported, which of course means a lot of Muslims, because it would mean all the families of the convicted grooming gang members. So Nigel told the police that Rupert was threatening minorities effectively, using hate speech, and Nigel was arrested was arrested for that, and the police took all his guns away as well. Don't forget that Rupert Lowe's a farmer, so he has a license to hold guns. So Rupert does have a genuine grievance against Nigel, but he said that he would be prepared to effectively shelve that for the good of the country and work together with Nigel Farage to win the election between Reform and Restore. And Nigel has responded. He hasn't said yes. He hasn't said no. I think he's effectively said, well, we need to put the good of the country first. I will always put the good of the country first. So we'll have to see what happens from that. But it to me, as I say, it just shows Rupert in a very good light, I think. And the fact that Nigel Farage hasn't ruled it out also shows Nigel in a good light. So we'll have to wait and see what happens there. But we also had a rather negative event happening over the weekend, which might well have positive effects on waking the public up, but it certainly had negative effects where it happened, and that was in Quetta, which is a Spanish enclave in North Africa. Of course, North Africa used to be white. What is now Tunisia, Morocco, Libya, that all used to be a part of, it was settled by Phoenicia, effectively. And when you had the Punic Wars, which were between the Romans and the Phoenicians there, that whole area was white, North Africa. And in the 4th century, it was settled by the Vandals, the Germanic tribe. And, of course, now all that's left there of the white people is this tiny little Spanish enclave, which is actually called Quetta. And all the countries around it are now Arab countries, North African countries, effectively. They're certainly not white people, but that's all that's left of, once the whole of North Africa was white, all that's left of it now is just Quetta. And that was invaded over the weekend. 60,000 Moroccans just mass invaded the place, climbed over the fences, swam around the cove effectively to get in. And this comes on top of the Moroccan king giving pardons to, I think it was 2,500 criminals, letting them out from the prisons. And then you could see the on videos, you could see these Moroccan guards that were helping effectively these migrants, busing them to where they could actually get off and invade Quetta. And of course, people have been saying, well, that this was organized by Israel, because Spain has very vocally been against Israel's attacks on the Palestinians. And Netanyahu's son has been calling for an invasion of Quetta, saying that if Muslims want to essentially free their lands from the oppressors, they should start with Quetta, and that Muslims should go there and free that land from the Spanish. So quite well-known Israeli people have been calling for this, and of course they've been crowing over it. So there is this suspicion that this was encouraged by Israel. The mainstream media is telling us that the vast majority of these migrants have now been rounded up. I mean, Spain brought the army in effectively, and they rounded up a large number of them and sent them back. But there still remains 6,000 or 7,000 of them there. And I've seen videos showing that the people that actually live there are living in absolute fear for their lives. People have been killed, incredible violence, things set fire to. Not a very good situation. And as I say, the mainstream media is now sort of ignoring it. They're saying, the vast majority of them have left. We do have alternative media journalists that are there on the ground. I've been following some of their work over the weekend. But for today, we'll use a mainstream article that I have here from the Daily Mail, which talks about this. It's actually an opinion piece. The headline is, "Why has the left stayed silent on the terrifying scenes in Quetta?" Because they know it's what their borderless utopia really looks like. It's by someone called Stephen Daisley. Amidst the international clamour over Quetta, the Spanish city invaded by 60,000 migrants from Morocco, there has been a noticeable hush from one quarter, the left. There have been no rallies in solidarity with the Moroccans, no celebratory tweets from the Greens' Zach Polanski. Labour backbenchers, seldom silent on these matters, can be heard on neither television nor radio. That's a good point there. We haven't heard anything from the left about this. We've heard Reform talking about this. We've heard some of the Conservative Party talking about this. Andy Burnham has said, initiatives to stop the illegal migrants, they've actually been working, because there have been less illegal migrants coming in on the boats this year than last year. But of course, the fishermen that work in the channel are saying, well, that's because there's been a lot of wind and there's been a lot of waves, and it's been very difficult. There hasn't been enough openings in the weather to allow these people to come across. But we've heard nothing else from Labour about what's happening in Quetta. It is as though socialists and other progressives recognise that events on the shores of the Mediterranean expose the grim reality that underlies their utopian worldview. Their dream, when put into practice, becomes a nightmare, for the Quetta incursion is open borders in action, the truth behind the migrants welcome here banners. Few could blame the young men who descended upon Quetta itself, a city made up mostly of Christians and Muslims of Maghrebi origin. While incidents of disorder have been reported and ought to be condemned, many who entered will have been poor souls lured by promises of wealth and opportunity, lured too by the reckless actions of the Spanish authorities. And this is something that needs to be hammered home, really. It's the fault of our governments why this is happening. It's not the fault of the black African who looks across from Africa and sees Europe as the promised land. The streets are paved with gold. They get paid in benefits there, what they're really likely to earn in possibly a year. They can get given in benefits in a week if they're in some parts of Europe. They realise that they will be housed, they will be fed, everything will be done for them. There will be naked white women walking around, because of course these people are used to seeing women covered from head to toe. There'll be naked white women walking around, and they won't even be attended by men. So it is definitely a lure to these Africans to try to come to Europe. You can't blame them for coming to Europe. What you can blame is the European authorities for facilitating it, allowing it to happen, and effectively giving these people the red carpet when they break in, putting them up in hotels in Britain. But what we also had, we had an extra lure to Spain, as we will get into here. Pedro Sanchez, Prime Minister and head of the Spanish Socialist Workers' Party, opened the floodgates in April when his administration offered amnesty to what he assured voters would just be the 500,000 illegal migrants living in the country. 2 months later, the programme was shuttered, with applications for amnesty hitting 1.2 million. So it's almost three times as many illegal migrants were there as the government was saying. The government was saying there was just 500,000. Actually, 1.2 million, almost three times as much. Now, we did a podcast a while back talking about this in Spain, and the Social Security offices had to close. I mean, they were just swamped because, of course, as soon as these people are given citizenship, the first thing they do is they go to the benefits office and they put themselves down for housing, benefits, all the benefits that you would get in Spain, unemployment benefit, whatever they can get, they put down for, and it caused the Social Security to crash. Now, this 1.2 million, now that they've been given citizenship, of course, under the human rights law, they have the right to a family, so they can then invite all of their family to come and live with them. So that 1.2 million could then become, who knows, 5 million, 6 million, 10 million. I mean, you just don't know the size of these families. And of course, that is a massive magnet for people now to go to Spain, because they think, well, now that this has happened once, now this amnesty has happened once, this amnesty could very well happen again. And I would be able to get citizenship. If I can just get into that country, I'll get citizenship. Of course, this amnesty is something that Boris Johnson used to talk about when he was the mayor of London. He said this was the way to deal with illegal immigration in Britain, is to legalise them all effectively. So we do, and now we see this happening in Spain, and the end result of that is a massive invasion of even more illegal migrants. The damage, however, had been done. Thousands of Moroccans saw that Spain was not only willing to tolerate illegal migration, but prepared to reward it by granting lawful status to those who entered the nation unlawfully. Sanchez proved the incentive, and the Quetta immigrants took it. Now, I've just remembered something else to do with this. Isabel Peralta, Spanish correspondent for Heritage and Destiny, outspoken ethno-nationalist over there, she gave a speech about this outside the Moroccan embassy a couple of years ago, may even be longer than that, warning about this, that this was going to happen. And she was prosecuted for that speech. And they found her guilty, and I think they want to give her 12 months in prison or something like that. And she's appealing it. She's appealing it at the moment. She is saying that, you know, she was effectively speaking the truth. Now, over the weekend or last week when this happened, she gave another protest, said, look, this is exactly what I was warning about. And we will just have to see whether they try to press charges against her again. But it's interesting that she knew this was going to happen. And she said that the Spanish government was colluding with Morocco, effectively, is what she said in her speech. And if you follow the Heritage and Destiny Telegram channel, they have been putting up speeches by Isabel Peralta and translating them effectively into English, because they're also in Spanish. So I thought I would give a quick plug for her there, as it is related to this news story. While many of the 60,000 who took part in the latest incursion are said to be back on Moroccan soil, they have proved to the world that it can be done, that European borders are only as secure as the willingness of European leaders to defend them. As I say, there's about 10% of them that are still there causing mayhem. They will be back, and next time they won't go home so quickly. Socialists are so blindly committed to their ideology that they cannot learn lessons of the past. Angela Merkel is no socialist, but during her chancellorship, she embraced all the left's ideas on immigration and put them into force, absorbing migrants from the Middle East and North Africa on a scale never before seen in Germany. And this was after pointing out that multiculturalism has failed. She famously said multiculturalism has failed. And then we had the Syrian wave of migrants coming from Syria. And she said, we can do this. We can allow the Syrians in. We can cope with them. And millions of Syrian or migrants claiming to be Syrian just flooded into Germany. I think it was that year or the year after we had the mass rape at Cologne on New Year's Eve. Thousands of girls were abused and raped effectively by men of North African appearance is what was said in the news reports. And we've covered that in other podcasts here at Radio Albion. So that was the result of Angela Merkel welcoming these migrants in. At the time, her government reassured the markets that this would be good for Germany's bottom line, filling in vacancies, especially in the manual labour sector that educated Germans were unwilling to settle for. We get told the same in Britain. We get told that these people are coming to do the jobs that we don't want to do. And then what we actually see happening is we see that important roles for well-paying jobs are only going to go to somebody of ethnic minority heritage, so because they have a diversity quota. So if you want to become a policeman, for instance, depending on what area in the country you're in, you may be told that it's not worth you bothering to apply because they only want ethnic minorities to apply. So far from coming here to do the jobs that we want to do, we have initiatives also in television as well. If you're work in television, again, if you're a white man, they probably don't want you because they literally do only advertise for ethnic minorities to fill a role. And we've covered news stories about that before. So the same story was being told in Germany, that these Syrian migrants are coming to do the jobs that Germans did not want to do. But a decade on, Berlin's economy is mired in stagnation, and the social, cultural and security fallout from importing large numbers of unvetted foreign men includes spikes in violent crime, gang activity and Islamist terrorism. And of course, we had a podcast last week talking about the German police, who said that Germany has fallen and it's effectively open season for rape in the country. These developments have helped shift a nation wary of political extremes in the direction of Alternative for Deutschland, a right-wing nationalist party that now consistently tops the opinion polls. And of course, what Germany's response to that, the German establishment, is to try and make Alternative for Deutschland illegal, even though they're one of the most popular parties in Germany. Because after the Second World War, when Germany was taken over by the Allies, they wrote a new constitution for Germany, which said that Germany can only be governed by liberal democratic parties. And they're effectively saying that Alternative Deutschland are not liberal. They're not liberal democrats. They're right-wing democrats. And they're using that as an excuse to try and make them illegal, even though the majority of people in Germany, it appears, support the Alternative for Deutschland. I'm not sure if they're the most popular party or the second most popular party, but there's certainly a large number of Germans support them. All this might seem a distant concern. Let the Europeans worry about European problems. Except we all know that illegal migration is every bit as much a British problem. And if Britain does not get a handle on it soon, the scenes witnessed in Quetta could be replicated on the streets of cities here. And I should also add to that that legal migration is just as much of a problem as illegal migration, if not more, because even more people come over to replace us legally than do illegally. Yet chaotic as that would be, it is exactly what socialists want to see. When they speak about immigration, they conjure up images of desperate mothers cradling sickly infants, just pleading for a compassionate country like Britain to take them in. Not only is this propaganda at odds with the actual demographics of illegal immigration, mainly young, male and unaccompanied, it occludes the human and financial costs of the left's open borders agenda. What's quite amazing about the left's open borders agenda is when you have these illegal migrants, these fake asylum seekers that are going to be put up in a village, and the villagers protest against it, you get loads of left people there saying refugees are welcome here. And the villagers are just like, sorry, how can you just invade my part of the country and then say that these foreign invaders are welcome in my village when you don't even live in my village? And it's quite incredible that the left do that. They literally turn up at these protests to counter-protest the locals, and they'll say refugees are welcome here. Well, it's not their backyard, is it? It's not their garden that they're welcoming the refugees into. It's somebody else's. So they have no right to say refugees are welcome here when it's not actually their properties that the migrants are going to be moving into. It's somebody else's. Mass immigration is not the story of propping up the NHS or social care or the unskilled economy. It is a tale of net fiscal burdens. Introduced to the UK when migrants obtain leave to remain and bring over large families, including those with elderly and other welfare-dependent members. And of course, there are plenty of statistics that show that it is a massive net loss. All migrants, pretty much, are a massive net loss. They don't cause an increase in the economy, and yet it still goes on. And I say the only reason that this can be is because it does increase the country's debt. And of course, the more debt that a country is in, the more it benefits the banks. So effectively, it benefits the banks to have legal and illegal migration, regardless of whether they're working or not working. It will create more debt, whether it's individual debt by somebody who is working or whether it is government debt in order to pay for the benefits, the unemployment benefits and the rest. Either way, it's debt, isn't it? And the only people that benefit from debt are the banks, which is why I say it's down to the banks why we have this. And all the while that the banks have this power in our system, it will be very difficult to put a stop to it. For more than two decades now, stretching back to Tony Blair's government, the left's position has been that mass immigration is a moral good in and of itself, that anyone who thinks otherwise must be a racist, and without large influxes of foreigners, Britain would suffer economically or culturally. This lay behind the post-2004 increases in migration that came in the wake of Central and Eastern European nations' accession to the EU. Well, it's not Central and Eastern European nations that are causing these problems. Generally, Central and Eastern European peoples that come here, they do work, and they're white people, effectively. So they're going to have the similar average IQ as the people that are already in Britain. So they're going to be quite industrious, as opposed to people that would be coming from Africa, sub-Saharan Africa, whose average IQ is 30 points lower than the average white IQ. Today, however, after much bigger spikes, especially in the years after COVID-19, fears about Polish plumbers seem almost quaint with hindsight. What Britain has witnessed in recent times is dangerously out of proportion, but for the far left, even this is not enough. Pivotal to socialist doctrine is the conviction that wealth and opportunity must be redistributed as widely as possible. The average British worker might resent the notion of their hard-earned money being taken in tax and given to those freshly arrived in Blighty, preferring that public resources be spent on the public here in Britain. However, the left considers this view outdated and even bigoted. The left believes in equality of outcomes, and since there is no way to guarantee this for Africa and the Middle East, they regard immigration as another way of delivering redistribution. By dismantling Britain's borders, they hope to share Britain's wealth with those they consider more deserving of it. This is not just about socialism, but about an ideology that holds even more sway on the contemporary left, post-colonialism. And of course, as white people, we want to be just, we want there to be equality, we want everything to be fair. And this appeals to a lot of our people, because we look at this and we say, well, we do have more than them. We have more than enough, we should be sharing it with them. They don't understand that the reason why we have more than them is because we are different to them. We created more than them because we are creative people. And if we bring them into our countries, we will cease to be a creative people. The more they start to outnumber us, the less our civilization will be able to create these things that we can share with them. And eventually we will stop being able to maintain civilization altogether once we become in the minority. And of course, the other threat is, of course, miscegenation. And if interbreeding occurs, then the offspring is going to have an average IQ of about 80. And again, they're not going to be able to maintain civilization. This is why when we look at the old civilizations of the past in places like India, Egypt, India, Syria, effectively, you just have a ruined civilization and you now have brown people living there. Well, originally, it was white people living there. And once they brought in the non-white people to work in the cities, and once they shared with them and they made them into citizens, they started interbreeding with them. And once they started interbreeding with them, the offspring were no longer capable of maintaining the civilization, and it collapsed and it fell apart. And all you have to do is look back at history to see the way that our current civilization is going. No, there's nothing new under the sun. It's just the same thing repeating. And now, once again, we have lots of people who are not white coming into white countries effectively. And soon enough, they're going to outnumber us, and then our civilization will collapse. This is not just about socialism, but about an ideology that holds even more sway on the contemporary left, post-colonialism. Today's progressives regard Britain as one of the chief evildoers of history through its empire and colonies. And again, I'll just stop there. I mean, this is the way that the left see this. When I look at the empire, I say, well, they brought all sorts of things, didn't they? They brought learning how to read and write. They brought hospitals. They brought medicine. They brought technology. They brought roads. They brought railways. They brought transport. They brought infrastructure. They built ports. They enabled these countries to manufacture items that could then be sold on the world market. They enabled these items to actually get to the world market. These are the things that the British Empire did. And all we're ever told about is, oh, how evil it was that the British went there and they ruled over these people. Well, the way that the British looked at it was not that we were ruling over these people and extracting their wealth, but that we were guardians of the wealth of this country. And we were working hard to bring these people up to the standard of civilization that, that white people had, so that we could hand the countries to them so that they could then run their country, so that the brightest and best of them would be given a good education, taught about the democratic system, and eventually they could run their own countries. And what's happened is we now have now given these countries to them, and they have ruined the countries because effectively they're not able to run them in the same way that a white person can run them. Just look at India today and compare it to India 100 years ago. Just look at parts of Africa today and compare it to 100 years ago. Look at South Africa today and compare it to 100 years ago. It was far better 100 years ago when it was run by white people, even though in that time there's been 100 years more advancement. So I don't see the British Empire as a negative thing for the countries that it was in. I see it as a positive thing, and yet the left see it as a negative thing. Despite the considerable effort and resources British governments have invested in making amends, that's making amends for the British Empire, which I don't think they should have to do, it will never be enough for the left. They want to see Britain punished and view mass immigration as a righteous cudgel. Back in the New Labour era, there was a desire to, quote, rub the right's nose in diversity, close quote. And I think it was Jack Straw that said that, who was the Home Secretary under Tony Blair in the Labour government. This shows the sheer cynicism of the immigration ideologues. They might pose as supporters of migrants, but when they think no one is listening, they boast about weaponizing these people for partisan political purposes. It is a shameful, grubby business. And of course, they think that the people that they bring in are going to be more likely to vote for Labour as well. I mean, this is what you saw the Democrats doing under Joe Biden, just bringing in millions of non-whites, knowing that when they take over a state, that that state will then vote Democrat rather than Republican. And you have the same with the Labour Party. Only now you tend to see some of the people that they bring in voting for the Green Party, because the Green are more pro-Palestine than the Labour Party. But effectively, it's the same thing. The people that they bring in will vote for left-wing parties, because it's the left-wing parties that give them more stuff, effectively. But what today's left aims for is more than just demographic taunting. They seek the same disaster utopianism as the government in Madrid. They wish not only to confiscate the resources of the average Brit, but to sacrifice his safety and that of his family by importing unvetted foreign populations on a scale that cannot be undone by a future government. Of course, this is what Restore and Reform are trying to do, is trying to work out a plan to try and undo the mess that has been created by mass immigration. And of course, I say that they're not going to be able to do that until they first address the banking problem, because as soon as they start putting a stop to immigration, the Office for Fiscal Responsibility, Budget Responsibility, they'll say, oh, the markets have got spooked because the immigration has stopped. That means that the costs of people's mortgages have gone up. That means the pensions that people are expecting to get when they retire have gone down. And you're going to see financial warfare then levied against the people, and you're going to have to be very, very strong people, effectively, in order to carry on supporting the prime minister that's anti-immigration, because the markets and the banks will see to it that it costs people financially. I mean, effectively, you need it to just root out the whole financial system and get rid of usury from it, which I don't think politicians are going to do, and that's just being practical about this. But we do have to understand what the cause of these problems are. We have to have ideals, and I think it's necessary that we constantly resist this, because we know that it's wrong. We need to resist it, and we should vote for people that are going to make life better for us. But we should not expect the people that we manage to vote in to actually be able to massively change things. They won't be able to. They'll be able to tinker around the edges. What's more important, or what is also just as important, is that we form white communities and that we preserve our true history and we preserve our heritage and we teach the younger generations about it so that they can pass it on to their children and make sure that they don't miscegenate effectively. And then we will continue to exist. And that's more important than anything else. This latter point, that's the bit about importing unvetted populations on a scale that cannot be undone by a future government, is what motivated agitation and litigation against the Rwanda scheme and other attempts to remove those here illegally. The harder the left makes it for its opponents to change course once in power, the more enduring its victory. Mass immigration is the 21st century version of the left's permanent revolution. Quetta is what a borderless world looks like in practice. Dismantling every control over immigration does not lead to harmonious we are the world egalitarianism. It leads to disarray, societal upheaval and political extremism. And it also leads to mass violence and a number of people dying effectively. That's what's happened in Quetta. I think it's all 6 or 7 deaths, maybe more than that, maybe 20 deaths. Certainly been deaths that have been involved in this. And also you see the people of Quetta that are fearing for their lives, effectively. What sounds like a utopia in the minds of the socialists is a dystopia for the rest of us who must live in it. And this is why we have to resist it. This is why we have to talk about it. This is why we have to talk about the negativity that it causes and what's responsible for this increase in crime in our countries, so that our people know how to avoid becoming victims of it effectively. Anyway, as I say, it's good that this is in the news. It's good it's got people talking. It's very good that it's sort of spurred Rupert Lowe to offer to bury the hatchet with Reform. But it's bad for the people who live in Quetta that have had to deal with this and are still having to deal with the 6,000 or 7,000 illegal migrants that are still on the loose in their part of the world. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.